We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. You hear it all the time, I think, from Christian parents. And I think it's a way of kind of patting yourself on the back, not by way of congratulation, but by way of kind of comforting yourself. You send your kid off to public school and you say, look, that's just so they can get their education. It's values neutral. It's spiritually neutral. They're just going to get the facts, ma'am, and all that kind of stuff. And then they'll get the Bible in church. Now, I understand what they're trying to say, but how would you respond to something like that? Is the Bible the church's responsibility and education the world's responsibility? Teach them the stuff they need to know to get by in the world, and then we'll teach them the Bible at church. Is there something wrong with that? We're going to be concluding our five-part series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education today, catechization and the school. Dr. Thomas Korchak joins us. He's assistant professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago, and he's author of the book Lutheran Education, From Wittenberg to the Future. Dr. Korchak, welcome back.
It is good to be here today.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, I send my kid to school to get the reading, the writing, the arithmetic, and they can learn about the Bible, and they can learn the Bible in church?
Yeah, that's not an uncommon thought. Is that just so long as they learn the basics of reading, writing, the church will handle the rest of it. And there's some problems with that. And I guess it stems from the role that we've assigned schools in our society. In some way, we've been led to believe that the schools are the place where all the needs of the child can be met. And so we give our children over to government-run schools, and we follow government-run standards, because in some way, the government's going to give them what they need for this, the real life, the real world. And then we can just let the church handle the other part of it. We'll send them to Sunday school, we'll take them to church on Sunday morning, and they'll pick up the stuff that the government hasn't taught them. Now, one of the things I kind of have to chuckle about people defending a government-run school is that almost in every area of our state life, we kind of acknowledge that the government is one of the least efficient agents out there. And there's a lot of good people in it, but we all kind of joke about how the government is out of touch with my everyday needs. And yet, when it comes to school, we don't even seem to think about that. Parents are the ones who have the best interests in how their children are raised. Parents are the ones who are most in touch with the needs of their children, and yet they're cut out of the educational process, and we hand them over to the state, hoping that the state will have the best interests of our children at heart.
So what's the difference between education and catechization?
Well, and this is where this whole distinction starts to fall down. Because education is about, simply put, it's about giving my child the right information. So all they have to do is learn how to read and write, add what they need to get a good job in life, and that's all there is to it. But catechization is different, and catechization has to do with the forming of a child of God. And that forming is a lifelong molding process that begins, well, the day they are baptized. In fact, classically, education is most concerned about the forming of a person, the forming of their character, and teaching them what a good life, what a virtuous life looks like. So it's not just about giving them a lot of information. Well, now if we start to think of education in terms of formation and linking catechesis or spiritual formation with that, you can start to see how the two go hand in hand.
Okay, so I want to come back to something you said in your first response, and that was the role of the family in both education, which we've discussed extensively before, and also in catechization. How would you describe the role of the family in the latter?
Well, in Scripture, parents are given the job of catechizing their children. Fathers, bring your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't say teachers. It doesn't say government. It directly lays it on the role of the parents. That is their vocation. That is one of the chief vocations they have, that of training their children, of forming their children in the faith. Often we look as parents as being supportive of those of the teachers. So parents are to support the teachers. Parents are supposed to support what goes on in the school. But that's getting the roles backwards. Teachers, schools, education are supposed to be supporting parents because they're the ones who have been given the task. They are the real religious experts in molding their children. And God gives to parents the tools that they need to accomplish this task.
That is going to sound so backward to most of the people listening to us, even Lutherans who know that it is, in the words of the Catechism, as the head of the household should teach the family. They're thinking, okay, that means I, as father or mother, bear the primary responsibility here, and this, I can't outsource it to the school?
That's right. And part of the problem I think we've run in the church over the past century, especially after the war, since the 1950s, is that we've just gotten into this mindset that if we can just all we have to do is drop our children off at church, we'll let them be trained by the kind of the volunteer religious experts, the Sunday school teachers, and that's all. We've done our parental duty then. Now, Sunday school can be valuable, but if the parents are doing their job, then all the Sunday schools in the world, indeed all the Christian schools in the world, won't do any good either. The children will drop out of the faith just as soon as they graduate. Formation is done at the home. It's done teaching them the catechism, and it's not that hard. You're teaching them some good simple hymns, reading them the Psalms, reciting and praying the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and just asking them, what does this mean? And letting them answer from the catechism.
So what role do the schools have if not being primarily responsible to catechize children? How does that look in the kind of the classroom in terms of what the teacher is doing to support the primary catechist, which is mom and dad?
Well, I think what we have to say is if the parent teachers are there to support the primary catechist, then the teaching that goes on in the schools has to be supportive in the same way. There's a role for so-called religion classes, teaching Bible stories and teaching doctrine. That's important, but the classroom should be mirroring what goes on at the home. So it should be mirroring a place where children learn to pray properly, where they learn to sing the hymns that they're learning at home, where they learn to read the scriptures with an open and sincere heart. And then the two are working hand in hand. Some of the best programs I've seen in schools is where the family is praying at home, what the school is praying in school, what the church is praying on a Sunday morning. So everybody's praying and thinking about the same thing all through the weekend, and everyone's doing the same thing instead of balkanizing everyone and say, well, you just go do your thing, and we'll have a ladies group over here that does their thing, and we'll have a youth group that does their thing. It's all one church. It's all one faith. It's all one Lord, one baptism. So why don't we all pray the same thing?
That's a pretty simple solution if everybody's kind of, as you say, on the same page.
Yeah, it is simple, isn't it? God really doesn't make things too difficult for us. the task of training children, while it's difficult, is also easy. It's difficult because there are so many things that they are going to face in this world. But we have a great big God who watches over his children and provides simple tools which will equip them to navigate through this difficult world. One of the things I like to do is look at schools in a different way. We often think that this is only a place where children go to learn something, where children are, they are the passive receptors of what we have to give to them. Schools are also places where children can serve and where children can live out their vocation.
Talk a little bit more about that, because I don't think people usually think of student, especially young student, as a vocation.
Well, what are Christians called to do? Well, they're called to pray. They're called to sing praises to God. And one of the things I miss most about not being in a school, an elementary school, is that on a daily basis, our children would gather together, we would sing hymns, we would pray the Psalms, and we would pray usually matins or one of the offices. And it never ceased to amaze me. I'd be there at the front, and I'm thinking, these children are praying for the church, for the world, for their parents, while their parents are off working and busy doing things, you know, to make money and to support the family. And yet the children are set aside to do this all-important task of praying for their parents. And that's just a wonderful gift that we can give to our children, to give them a reason, aside from learning the right thing. You're going to go to school to pray for me.
Dr. Thomas Korchak is our guest, assistant professor of theology at Concordia University Chicago and author of the book, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. We're concluding our series with him on progressive versus classical Lutheran education, talking about catechization and the school. When we come back, the content, we'll focus a little bit on the content. Luther's Small Catechism, very short, the actual text of it, is actually designed to be read and understood and memorized by children.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2018? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Grace Place Lutheran Retreats. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
The prosperity gospel, godliness, Islam, abortion, religious truth claims, scientism, the centrality of justification. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. And this Tuesday afternoon, we are concluding a five-part series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education, talking about the catechism and the school. Dr. Thomas Korchak is our guest. Dr. Korchak, I'd like you to focus a little bit on the content of this aspect of a classical education, the catechization. The content of Luther's Small Catechism is really rather brief, and we should point out that it was actually designed to be read and understood and memorized by children.
Well, yes, it is designed for a child to read, understand, and memorize, but it's also designed as a lifelong tool, as something that we can always go back to. The catechism, first of all, gives us the language of faith. We Christians have our own way of talking. We have our own way of talking about God and what He has done for us and what He expects of us. And the catechism gives me the proper language to use. And then that language helps me understand my life as I grow. I may not understand all the meaning of the words and how that's going to affect me. When I was 8 years old, I certainly didn't know the full meaning of the sixth commandment, of what it meant to commit adultery. No one explained that to me, and they didn't have to. But as I grew in years, I got to see how the sixth commandment came to bear on husbands and wives and their obligations towards each other. And so those simple words that I learned as a catechism are still the same words that affect me now that I'm 56 years old, and they still shape how I talk about, in this case, marriage, the roles of husband and wife, how I view my own wife. And so we give these children probably the best words they're ever going to learn. And I think that's one of the key things that I like to emphasize with schools. Sometimes we want to give children fun things. And yeah, there's a role for fun things, and there's a role for fun songs and that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, I want children to be learning the very best words that they can use to talk about God and to talk to God, so that they can use those best words throughout the rest of their lives.
Finally, how would you respond to someone who says, look, the public schools, decidedly not a classical Lutheran education, true, but they're just giving value-neutral knowledge to our kids. The values there, there's no spirituality being taught there. It's neutral. How would you respond?
I would say there is no such thing as neutral spirituality. And I would challenge any one of your listeners to come up with an example from Scripture that there is a spiritually neutral environment. There is no such thing described in the Bible. Even in the best of circumstances, if you take a classroom where God is not talked about, then that is a value. That says that the words of Christ have no bearing in this situation. Well, the word of Christ always has a bearing on everybody's situation, no matter what age they are. And so to exclude the word of Christ is to say the word of Christ is meaningless and has no importance. Instead, people use this term, we're only concerned about the real world, right? Instead of that kind of that churchy world that you happen to go to on a Sunday morning.
And the public schools, are they ethically neutral?
Well, it used to be we kind of would like to think that way, but I think increasingly the reality of the situation is it's not. My home country is in Canada, and I always like to say if you want to see where American public schools are going to be, you only have to look at Canadian public schools. There are situations where from early on, children are being taught about all sorts of sexual perversions now, where they're taught about how men and men can marry, how men and men can have sex together, how you can be transgendered. And that is a perfectly legitimate and acceptable thing. Now, in my books, that's not morally neutral in any way, shape, or form. Even if it's if I train my child to ignore that, yet it normalizes it in the mind of a child. I as a chaplain, as a military chaplain, I used to work with Army cadets who are young men and women, 13 to 15 years old. And I would have these young boys coming in, 13-year-old, concerned because they couldn't identify themselves. One young lad I remember said, "Well, I don't like boys, but I don't like girls, and I don't know how I'm supposed to identify myself." And I just said to him, "Well, you're a normal 13-year-old boy. I didn't like girls either." But you see, he's been so catechized in this idea that you have to identify your own sexuality that he was confused and he didn't understand the world. And so this is where you have to look at what our schools are doing, public schools, and saying that's not a morally neutral environment at all.
Dr. Thomas Korchak is assistant professor of theology at Concordia University Chicago. He is author of the book Lutheran Education: From Wittenberg to the Future. You can find out more about this book under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Korchak, thank you very much, and thank you for your time during this entire series.
Well, it's been an honor and a blessing.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time responding to your email and your comments on the Issues Etc. listener comment line, which is, by the way, open 24/7 for your comments, 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.